For the iPad Mini.
What do I have to do?
Go to the website, givetowbai.org.
Give to the number 2wbai.org?
Yeah, donate $25 or more, and you are automatically eligible to win the Apple iPad Mini.
Ooh, can I do it now?
Yes, now or any time up to midnight, Tuesday, December 31st.
That's the end of the year.
That's right. And the winner will be announced January 3rd.
What winner?
The winner of the iPad Mini.
Oh, the iPad Mini. I hope it's me.
Well, so do I. It could happen.
It could be you.
It could be.
I hope it's me.
We interrupt this speech by Joseph Stalin for the following announcement.
Back of the Book, the radio program that endorses hell, airs on alternate Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. On other alternate Saturdays at 5 a.m., listen to Uncle Sidney's Saturday Morning with the Radio On.
We now return you to Comrade Stalin.
If I cannot bring you comfort, then at least I bring you home. For nothing is more precious than the time we have and so.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this Christmas holiday edition of Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and we have for you today a polycultural celebration of the season that is at once Christian, Hebraic, Kwanzaic, solstitial, pagan, Dutch, Gaelic, Innesascent, comedic, fire signish, pythonish, Leninesque, Dylanesque, Tchaikovskyan, and above all, Earthwatchian. This is Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. And I'm Robert Knight, wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Together, creating, putting together, leading, jumping, turning, everywhere we go. Why are singing carols right outside my door? All these things and more.
All these things.
Oh,
all
that's what Christmas means to me, my love.
That's what Christmas means to me, my love.
Yeah. And you know what I mean. Ooh. I see a smiling face like I've never seen before. Even seems I love you more. The little part you'll give me will touch my heart for sure. All these things and more, darling.
All these things.
Oh, that's what Christmas means to me, my love. Oh, yeah. I feel like running wild. As anxious as a little child. Reach beneath the mistletoe. Kiss you once and then some more. And wish you a Merry Christmas, baby.
Wish you a Merry Christmas, baby.
And such happiness in the coming year.
Christmas here at home. The church bells chime wherever we roam. To you, the snow is thick in most of the world, and children's eyes are wide. As old Saint Nick gets ready to ride. To you, though the customs may change and the language is strange, this appeal we feel is real in Holland or Hong Kong. It's Christmas time all over the world, and places near and far. And so, my friends, wherever you are, which means a very Merry Christmas. It's Christmas time all over the world, in places near and far. And so, my friends, wherever you are, that's right, which means a very Merry Christmas to you. And children
Christmas card I write. May your day be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases.
Yes, if only our dreams of a white Christmas could be confined to the color of snow. This is Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York. And yet again this year, the Christmas holiday season is wrapped in the color-coded wishes of contending cultures. Controversy rages in various cities and school districts over the concept of a Black Santa. Macy's actually had one this year, but available only by special request. Meanwhile, in a southern swampland, a grinchy group of marketing millionaires are defending their Duckin dynasty with the claim that there was no racism in their Jim Crow youth. This from the paterfamilias of A&E's so-called reality show in Louisiana, the state which historically hosted 10% of the nation's lynchings and still maintains a school system under federal challenge for segregation. The reality ducker claimed that, quote, "I never with my eyes saw the mistreatment of any black person. Not once. They're singing and happy. I never heard one of them one black person say, 'I tell you what, them doggone white people,' not a word. Pre-entitlement, pre-welfare. You see, were they happy? Were they godly? They were happy. No one was singing the blues." End quote. Thus, would some agents of modern media try to consign us all to an unremitting ignorance of demonstrable history, such as the Christmas history of the cultural origins of Santa Claus, from the original Dutch celebration of Catholic proto-bishop Sinterklaas, along with his 19th-century African slave and happy helper, Schwarze Piet, also known as Black Peter, who, we suppose, also never complained about his subservient condition or holiday fate, whose legendary hard work made possible the happy legends of Santa's sleigh, stocking stuffings, and, above all, Christmas cheer. This is Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight, a son of the South, now broadcasting in New York, where, more than a decade ago, we first discussed the mid-19th century origins of Christmas's dynamic duo, Santa Claus and Schwarze Piet. But here, now, more merry music and holiday cheer, including this report by Dutch correspondent Emily Kopp on the lingering racial element of the origins of Santa Claus, Black Peter, and our contemporary Christmas lore from days of yore.
Wat de Piet ging uit fietsen, toen klapte zijn band. Hij moest toen gaan lopen met de fiets aan zijn hand.
Nee,
hij kwam in een dorpje en zei tegen de smid: ik geloof dat er in mijn achterband een pepernootje zit.
Er zit een pepernootje in mijn achterband.
Every November, St. Nicholas parades through Holland like a king, flanked by his helpers. These are Schwarze Pieten, or Black Peters. For some, they're a sacred Yuletide tradition. For others, a racist symbol. Black Peter first appeared in a Dutch children's book of the 1850s, when Dutch colonies still had slaves.
En dan komt het. Zijn knecht zat te lachen en wenkt ons reeds toe. Wie zoet was, krijgt lekkers. Wie stout was, een roe.
From then on, says author Fritz Boy, Black Peter became part of the holiday ritual for kids of all ages.
It started when we are very young. We meet St. Nicholas and Black Peter, and that's a very important part of our youth. Not only for me, but for thousands of Dutchmen.
By the 1900s, Black Peter had gone from being Santa's servant to a menace that punished bad children while Santa rewarded the good. In the 1950s, Black Peter became a smiling caricature. Nowadays, many Dutch children learn that Peter is not black, but dirty, because he went down the chimney to deliver presents.
There is no trace of racism in and discrimination in the acting and speaking and doing and of Black Peter nowadays.
In the most recent polls from the late 1990s, 96% of people said Black Peter had nothing to do with discrimination. That finding surprises even some of the Dutch.
It must be patently clear that Black Peter is an abominable racial representation of black people, and we as white people, it should be self-evident that you don't make fun through the impersonation of black people.
The rare anti-Peter protest is met with passionate opposition and even threats of violence. Holland's black community has remained silent, mostly. Playwright Mark Walraven used to dress up as Black Peter when he was younger.
And then I started working with Cosmic Theater, and there were black people mainly working there, and they told me, we don't celebrate Sinterklaas because of Zwarte Piet. And I was really astonished. I never heard that before.
It's a taboo topic because, well, in the Netherlands, people do not think of themselves as being racists. And it hurts, probably. And the tradition is very important to Dutch people. It is their youth, it is their happiness, and they don't want that to be attacked.
Theater director Ernestine Camvarius wanted to bring the discussions she was having with other blacks to a wider audience. She convinced Walraven to write a play about a man who believes that only black people should play Pete. Its premiere received a warm response last year in the largely immigrant Belmer neighborhood of Amsterdam. Holland is not as white as it was in the 1850s, when Black Peter was invented. Today, 14% of residents come from outside Europe, leading some to say it's time for Black Peter to retire.
If Zwarte Piet wouldn't exist, or if Zwarte Piet would be just, you know, he could also be blue and gray and pink, then I would be more interested in this tradition. And then with more happiness, I would probably participate.
And I remember one person in the audience last year telling us, he said, when my two children play together, and one of them is hurt, and he says, I'm hurt, then I teach them, the other one has to stop. So why can't we talk like this about Zwarte Piet?
But most Dutch people don't want to let go of the tradition.
I hope that Black Peter will continue. I hope it will be for many, many years. And I find that you may place between the Black Peters Peters who are not black, some.
It's just playing a beautifully dressed blackface. But then, what kind of blackface is it?
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, your Christmas of white, but I have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Who has a long cap on his head?
Shadow with a long cap on his head.
Cap on his suit of red. Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who's got a big red cherry nose?
Santa's got a big red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way? Ho ho ho.
Santa laughs this way. Ho ho ho.
Ho ho ho. Cherry nose. Cap on head. Suit that's red. Special night. Here's that's right.
Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa Claus.
Soon will come our way.
Santa very soon will come our way.
Eight little reindeers for his sleigh.
Santa's little reindeer for his sleigh.
Reindeer sleigh, come our way.
Ho, ho, ho.
Cherry nose, cap on head. Suit that's red. Special night, here's his wife.
Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa Claus.
Nixon, that's not Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, that's your friends of friends of Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton,
reindeer sleigh, come our way,
ho, 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 cherry nose, cap on head, suit that's red, special night, here's that white, must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus, must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Oh.
Oh, is it Christmas today?
Of course, madam. It's Christmas every day in heaven.
Oh, how about that?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's truly a real honorable experience to be here this evening. A very wonderful and warm and emotional moment for all of us. And I'd like to sing a song for all of you. It's Christmas in heaven. All the children sing. It's Christmas in heaven. Hark, hark, those church bells ring. It's Christmas in heaven. The snow falls from the sky. But it's nice and warm and everyone looks smart and wears a tie. It's Christmas in heaven. There's great films on TV. The sound of music twice an hour. And Jaws 1, 2, and 3.
There's gifts for all the family. There's toiletries and cranes.
There's Sony Walkman headphone sets.
And the latest video games.
It's Christmas in heaven. Hip, 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 hooray. Every single day. It's Christmas Day. It's Christmas in heaven. Hip, 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 hooray. Every single day. It's...
Well, that's the end of the film. Now here's The Meaning of Life. Thank you, Brigitte. Well, it's nothing very special. I'll try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try and live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. Oh, well, there we are. Here's the theme music.
For freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. The beating sound of a hammer for justice that pounds. When the will the world stop and listen, when will we all stop and think? He looks upon us with a frown to know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. Innocent one. and still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop enlisting? When will we all stop and see? He looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. Long as there's life, there's still a day. There's life, there's still a day, and I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
Rudolph, this is our biggest time of year.
Is it because it is Christmas, Mr. Elf?
Yes. And do you know what that means?
We bring toys to all the good little boys and girls.
Yes, Rudolph. But how do we know who the good little boys and girls are?
I do not know the answer to that question.
We monitor all the little boys and girls with surveillance data.
Surveillance data?
Yes, Rudolph. Surveillance data. Do you know what surveillance data is?
I do not know what that is.
How could we know who is naughty and who is nice without surveillance data?
I have never considered the subject. I simply do what I am told.
We monitor all communications for all the little boys and girls of the world. We use the government's resources. And the resources of the Google.
The Google?
Yes, the Google gives us much surveillance data. But do you know which is the best source of our surveillance data?
I do not know the best source of our surveillance data.
The best source of our surveillance data is the Facebook.
The Facebook? What is the Facebook?
The Facebook is where all little boys and girls go to give away the very last of their civil liberties.
Their civil liberties?
Yes, Rudolph. Their civil liberties. Civil liberties like freedom of speech and privacy.
Privacy? You mean the freedom from unwarranted intrusion into everybody's private life? Yes, Rudolph, their ancestors fought and died for their right to privacy, and now they are giving away that right to the Facebook. Do you know why they give away their privacy to the Facebook, Rudolph? I do not know why they give their privacy to the Facebook.
It is so they can play Farmville. They surrender their privacy rights to play Farmville. Help Susie find her sheep, says Farmville. Susie has lost a sheep, says Farmville. Susie has lost her civil liberties too.
I see. They give their away their privacy to Facebook so they can play Farmville. And we use the Facebook for our surveillance data.
Yes, Rudolph. We use other tools, too. And we read emails, pictures, browsing history, even phone conversations. We read them all at the NSA.
What is the NSA?
It is the National Santa Agency. That is a joke. The NSA, not the National Santa Agency. It is the National Security Agency. For spies at the National Security Agency, every day is Christmas.
And the National Security Agency helps us know who is naughty or nice?
Yes, Rudolph. For the National Security Agency, the rule is that you are naughty until proven nice.
Is that not a violation of the civil liberties?
Yes, it is, Rudolph. Does it bother your conscience?
No, it does not. My name is Rudolph and I am only following orders.
Excellent, Rudolph. Let us wish our viewers a happy holiday.
We better not wish them happy holiday. That means we are part of the war on Christmas. The Fox News will think we are un-American. then the NSA will invade our civil liberties. We might even wind up in the prison that is called Gitmo. We better wish them Merry Christmas instead.
You were right, Rudolph. You learn very quickly.
Yes, I do. Watch your step, Mr. Elf. Until then, Merry Christmas.
Yes, be sure to have a Merry Christmas. We'll be watching.
Ah, the holiday season. A time for celebration, magic, and spending time with the people you love. But don't forget who's watching to make sure you're not being naughty.
You better watch out, you better not Skype, you better log out, yeah, you better not type. The NSA is coming to town. You're making a list, they're checking it twice, they're watching almost every electronic device. The NSA is coming to town. They see when you are sleeping, they hear while you're awake. They know who you call and who you write, so encrypt for goodness sake. With Congress in the dark and a cloak and dagger court, we're looking for answers and they're coming up short. The NSA is coming to town. They're making a list, checking it twice, they're watching almost every electronic device. The NSA is coming to town. The NSA is coming to town. The NSA is coming to town.
You wouldn't let government agents spy on your special holiday moments in person. Why are we letting them do it in the digital world? Help us end the NSA's unlawful spying programs.
Hi, I'm with the NSA. My name is, well, not important. What is important is the holiday spirit, that time of year when we all come together in the spirit of peace, love, and national security. Here at the NSA, nobody is more concerned with your privacy than we are, and we recently discovered it's being violated by not us. Our surveillance network has picked up an extremely dangerous foreign spy. He seems able to slip in and out of any home with a chimney, and he moves so fast that the only pictures we've gotten of him have been blurry. This man, we've codenamed Santana, seems to live completely off the grid. We had to tap every single cell phone in the country just to make sure none of them were his. Turns out they're not, but we'll keep trying. Our search is complicated by the fact that he seems to have body doubles everywhere. He must be commanding these imposters to be unruly because they can often be found breaking the law and getting drunk in public. He was able to penetrate our most secret facilities and leave flammable materials there. We can only assume the sock was to be a crude fuse for the fires he wanted to start. We're just lucky he got scared away before he could ignite them. This hits particularly close to home for me because he put extra lumps of this flammable material in my own personal sock. Most importantly, though, he's stolen data from our computers. We've been keeping a list of who's been naughty, who's been nice, and who's been saying the word nachos. That one's just because we can. But he's stolen this list from our facility and wiped all of the data behind it. That's millions of gigabytes. It's critical that we get it back. So please, if you see a man matching this description, just open up your phone and say codename Santana, or type it into a web browser. That's all you have to do. Believe me, we'll see it. With your help, we can finally put this dangerous man where he truly belongs.
Dear friends, look around now. Choose the nearest exit to your seat. And in case of disturbance of any kind, to avoid the dangers of panic, walk. Do not run to that exit. And now, we ask you all to shift on your sanitary pedestals and join us in that great old hymn, By Order of P.D.
Where do you go?
And lo, there came unto them Philip called Punter, and he was Lillian Roth in his extremity. Merrily, merrily, he says unto them, saying, Merrily, merrily, for I am come. And he came, and he came unto the house of his mother's brother's servant, saying, Where am I? And there was none there to answer him, not even no one, saying, Nowhere, yea, but in the land of reversible cups and sanitary pedestals. And he lay in that land a long time, like worms out of a hot cheese log.
Christians during medieval times thought that on Christmas Eve the Christ child wandered through the town searching for those who believed in him. So on that night they put candles in their windows to guide him through the darkness to their homes. They also were accustomed to welcome strangers who were attracted, like moths, by the candlelight.
Well, as a properly religious opening for this properly religious program.
I think so. Dr. Benjamin?
Yes, the...
Perhaps you would explain.
The reading for the day is from the Book of Punter, chapter 4, verse 17. All we have to fear is me.
Yes.
Now, we'll be speaking on this message throughout the program today, so that you at home may gain the insights of the many different attitudes toward this work that we are engaged in.
And what great work that is.
Yea, it is great work indeed.
Selling candles, don't forget to tell them about the candles.
There were six outside my window last night, piled up against the window, smashed. We stacked them up in the foyer, and then my wife will have them for dinner tonight. By golly, selling these candles has been the best thing that ever happened to me. Signed, Robert Gomez, Toledo, Texas.
I'll tell a tale, tell, 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 yeah. Maccabees in Israel, L, 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 yeah. When the Greeks tried to assail, sell, 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 yeah. But it was all to no avail, veil, 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 yeah, yeah. The war went on and on and on, until the mighty Greeks were gone, yeah.
I put my lockers in the air sometimes, saying, hey, oh, spin the dreidel. We just want to celebrate for all the nights, singing, hey, oh, light the candle. We say, I'll have me too, oh, yeah, for all the nights. Then we play dreidel by the candlelight. And I told you, now I told you twice about the miracle of the candlelight.
They took the field, 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 field. Their rivals thought, are they for real, 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 real? Those Maccabees, they never yield, 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 yield. They charged ahead with sword and shield, 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 shield. Yeah, yeah, the war went on and on and on, until the mighty Greeks were gone, yeah.
I put my lockers in the air sometimes, saying, hey, oh, spin the dreidel. Just wanna celebrate for all late nights, singing, hey, oh, light the candle. We say, my old tune, oh yeah, for all late nights. Then we play dreidel by the candlelight. And I told you once, now I told you twice, about the miracle of the candlelight.
And the great menorah, for 8 days it kept on burning. What a celebration, a great return to Torah learning. Cause I can feel it, and I, Nes Gadol, Nes Gadol, Nes Gadol Hayasham, Nes Gadol Hayasham, Nes Gadol Hayasham, Sham, Sham,
Sham. I put my lockers in the air sometimes, saying, hey, oh, spin the dreidel. Just wanna celebrate for all late nights, singing, hey,
shake my old tune. Oh yeah, for all late nights. Then we play dreidel by the candlelight. And I told you once, now I told you twice about the miracle of the candlelight.
We three kings of Orient town, bearing gifts we travel far. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never.
So to
Thank you very much for your lovely present of a partridge in a pear tree. We're getting the hang of feeding the partridge now, although it was difficult at first to win its confidence. It bit the mother rather badly in the hand. But they're good friends now, and we're keeping the pear tree indoors in a bucket. Thank you again. Yours affectionately, Gubnet O'Lunacy. Day 2. Dear Nuala, I cannot tell you how surprised we were to hear from you so soon again, and to receive your lovely present of 2 turtle doves. You really are too kind. At first, the partridge was very jealous and suspicious of the doves, and they had a terrible row on the night the doves arrived. We had to send for the vet. But the birds are okay again, and the stitches is due to come out in a week or 2. The vet's bill was £8, but the mother is over her annoyance now, and the doves and the partridge are watching the telly from the pear tree as I write. Yours ever, Gubnet. Day 3. Dear Nuala, we must be foremost in your thoughts. I had only posted my letter when the 3 French hens arrived. There was another sort out between the hens and the doves, who sided with the partridge, and the vet had to be sent for again. The mother was raging because the bill was £16 this time, but she has almost cooled down. However, the fact that the bird's droppings keep falling down on her hair while she's watching the telly doesn't help matters. Thanking you for your kindness, I remain your Gubnet. Day 4. Dear Nuala, you mustn't have received my last letter when you were sending us the 4 calling birds. There was pandemonium in the pear tree again last night, and the vet's bill was £32. The mother is on sedation as I write. I know you meant no harm, and remain your close friend, Gubnet. Day 5. Nuala, your generosity knows no bounds. 5 gold rings. When the parcel arrived, I was scared stiff that it might be more birds, because the smell in the living room is atrocious. However, I don't want to seem ungrateful for the beautiful rings. Your affectionate friend, Gubnet. Day 6. Nuala, what are you trying to do to us? It isn't that we don't appreciate your generosity, but the 6 geese have not alone nearly murdered the calling birds, but they laid their eggs on top of the vet's head from the pear tree, and his bill was £68 in cash. My mother is munching 60 grains of Valium a day and talking to herself in a most alarming way. You must keep your feelings for me in check, Gubnet. Day 7. Nuala, we are not amused by your little joke. 7 swans a-swimming is a most romantic idea, but not in the bath of a private house. We cannot use the bathroom now because they have gone completely savage and rush the door every time we try to enter. If things go on this way, the mother and I will smell as bad as the living room carpet. Please lay off. It is not fair, Gubnet. Day 8. Nuala, who the hell do you think gave you the right to send 8 hefty maids of milk in here to eat us out of house and home? Their cattle is all over the front lawn and has trampled the hill over the mother's rose beds. The swans invaded the living room in a sneak attack, and the ensuing battle between them and the calling birds, turtle doves, French hens and partridge made the battle of the Somme seem like Wanderley Wagon. The mother is on a bottle of whiskey a day, as well as the 60 grains of Valium. I'm very annoyed with you, Gubnet. Day 9. Listen, you louser. There's enough pandemonium in this place night and day without 9 drummers drumming. While the 8 flaming maids of milking is beating me poor old alcoholic mother out of her own kitchen and gobbling everything in sight. I'm warning you, you're making an enemy of me, Gubnet. Day 10. Listen, manure face. I hope you will be haunted by the strains of the 10 pipers piping which has sent to torment us last night. They were aided in their evil work by those maniac drummers, and it wasn't a pleasant sight to look out the window and see 8 hefty maids a-milking, pogoing round with the ensuing punk rock uproar. My mother has just finished her 3rd bottle of whiskey on top of 124 grains of Valium. You'll get yours, Gubnet O'Loughness, say. Day 11. You have scandalised my mother, you dirty Jezebel. It was bad enough to have 8 maids of milk and dancing to punk music on the front lawn, but they've now been joined by your friends, the 11 lords a-leaping, and the antics of the whole lot of them would leave the most decadent days of the Roman Empire looking like outlook. I'll get you yet, you old bag. Day 12. Listen, slurry head, you have ruined our lives. The 12 maidens dancing turned up last night and beat the living daylights out of the 8 maids of milking because they found them carrying on with the 11 lords a-leaping. Meanwhile, the swans got out of the living room where they'd been hiding since the big battle and savaged hell out of the lords and all the maids. There were 8 ambulances here last night and the local civil defence as well. The mother is in a home for the bewildered and I'm sitting here up to me neck in birds' droppings, empty whiskey and Valium bottles, birds' blood and feathers, where the flaming cows eats the leaves off the pear tree. I'm a broken man. Come to show notice.
This is Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI with a special Christmas holiday edition. I'm Robert Knight in New York. And so far, we've heard Wendy and Lisa with the closing of the year, Kwanzaa celebration, Stevie Wonder, That's What Christmas Means to Me, Sammy Davis Jr., It's Christmas Time All Over the World, Bing Crosby, White Christmas, and Elvis with Blue Christmas, Bob Dylan, Must Be Santa, Stevie Wonder, The Bell for Freedom, and a very special NSA Christmas with Richard Escal, the ACLU, and D'Artagnan London, the Fire Sign Theater toting away, the Maccabees with a Candlelight Hanukkah, the Medieval Babes, We Three Kings, The Temptations, Little Drummer Boy, Karina Sky with the 13 Days of Solstice, and Frank Kelly with the 12 Days of Christmas, Irish style. Stay tuned. There's more. have been listening to a special Christmas holiday edition of Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York, welcoming your presence in the form of emails, comments, and queries in regard to this and other programs with an email to rknight, that's R-K-N-I-G-H-T at WBAI.org, rknight at WBAI.org, and with our dear late departed John Lennon. We wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. And the poor ones, the road is so long, and so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop all the fights.
Seconds short. How unusual. Well, that gives me time to say that that program is brought to you with Portions on Recording. You are tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and over WBAI.org. Programs that you have already heard can be found also at archive.wbai.org.
We interrupt this speech by Joseph Stalin for the following announcement.
Back of the book.
The radio program that endorses hell airs on alternate Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. On other alternate Saturdays at 5 a.m., listen to Uncle Sidney's Saturday Morning with the Radio On.
We now return you to Comrade Stalin.
Three rings for the elven kings under the sky, seven for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone, nine for mortal men doomed to die, one for the dark lord on his dark throne in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie.
As many of you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, John Ronald Reuel Tolkien, has just died. This is perhaps not so much a tragedy as it might have been, but it must necessarily come as a shock and as a sad shock to all of us.
This is Lester Del Rey speaking on September 2nd of 1973 at the World Science Fiction Convention.
As very few men in a single lifetime could have done. He gave us a series of books which managed to revive the lost and wonderful world of real fantasy. During a period when everything was cynical, he wrote a book which was based upon values, upon good triumphing over evil. And if he made his evil rather stock, it didn't matter. It was because the interest in the book was not with the evil, but with the good. He was interested in bravery, in integrity from simple people, and he picked the people who could be very simple. He used magic with a great deal of care. He never overdid anything, and yet there was a personality and a feeling and a wonder to his Middle Earth that has rarely been achieved. He also did something that had been lost. The tale of wonder, which used to occur from the travels of Marco Polo and God knows how many other books in the Middle Ages, because some of them getting utterly fantastic, on till about 1700, we had tales of wonders part of our leading literature, and then mysteriously they disappeared. Tolkien has revived that. He brought back a sadly needed form of literature. So he brought it back so well that now we have all kinds of professors and fans who believe in a new term for the same old thing, mythopoeia. He was, after all, a man who was over 80 years of age. He was still working. I think that we can say safely that no man has ever built himself, in our sense of the word monument, a greater monument. He left us in three volumes and, you might say, a preface. He left us a monumental piece of literature. He also left us a great many thousand years of a history, a writing, languages, and a whole universe that nobody had ever seen before. I think the monument will endure.
We'll be right back.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning, our almost annual broadcast of The Council of Elrond by J.R.R. Tolkien. Not an interpretation, but his own words. And again, good morning. Back in 1972 at WBAI, Hour of the Wolf had already begun with Margot Adler, and I was her co-host 2 days a week. We were on the air 5 to 7 a.m., 5 days a week. Margot, all five, me on two of them. And Margot and I produced a great deal of shows together and material together. We also had at WBAI a fellow by the name of David Marks, who was an engineer. And I had read my Tolkien, I knew my Tolkien, but Dave Marks was a Tolkien expert. He had already read Lord of the Rings, I think 5 times through at that point. I'd maybe read it twice. Newbie. Baird Searles was a Tolkien scholar. Baird Searles is the person who I first worked for at WBAI when he was the drama and literature director, not counting, you know, my early days here, which were basically just answering phone calls as a phone volunteer. I began doing that in 1967, God help me. And Baird left the station, started the science fiction shop where I worked as a stock boy. And Baird had, as you will hear shortly, the most magnificent voice. When he was not sure of a pronunciation in Tolkien, he made a phone call, got it, and then had it right definitively. The three of us, Dave Marks, Margot Adler, and myself, decided on The Council of Elrond. This is the point in Lord of the Rings. It is Chapter 2 of Book 2, Volume 1. Volume 1 being known as Fellowship of the Ring as far as Tolkien was concerned. It was all one novel with appendices and multiple books that went through. So Fellowship of the Ring encompasses 2 books. Frodo has left the Shire. Bilbo vanished, leaving Frodo with a mysterious ring. The question is, what to do with the ring? Now Frodo is in Rivendell, meeting elves for the first time in his youngish life. I don't remember exactly how old he is. Bilbo, I know, is about 40 when he goes on his adventures in The Hobbit. Frodo's younger than that. He's about 25, 26, thereabouts. This chapter that we chose because it is fairly self-contained. You need not know much about Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit in order to follow what is in there. Remember, we made this in 1972. And Lord of the Rings was a cult novel known mostly to college students. And we were looking for something that was more or less self-contained. There was no movie. Ralph Bakshi had not yet bought the screenplay from Peter S. Beagle to make the film. That came about 4 years later. And Peter Jackson had certainly done no more than read the books at this point. So we chose this chapter. One point, we needed a pronunciation, and Baird Searles gave me that phone number that he was constantly calling. I call that number, and I end up on the phone with Professor Tolkien. Asked him the pronunciation of G-A-N-D-A-L-F. He said, Gandalf rhymes with health. I said, excuse me? And he said, as in health of sixpence. Oh. Okay, Gandalf. Got it. In American, it's Gandalf or Gandalf. Actually, slightly open to interpretation, but Baird knew what to do with it. He has a magnificent reading voice. He can do his orc, he can do his elvish, and he can do his Tolkien. I defy you, if you're at home, in bed, in a dark room, as the images of Rivendell flow through your head for the next 90 minutes, to not fall asleep, because hopefully you will be transported. So with no further ado, and thanks, by the way, to Lister, who is donating about 15 minutes of his show to allow this to occur, the voice of the late, great Baird Searles, reading the words of the late, great J.R.R. Tolkien.
The Council of Elrond. Next day, Frodo woke early, feeling refreshed and well. He walked along the terraces above the loud flowing Bruinen and watched the pale cool sun rise above the far mountains and shine down slanting through the thin silver mist. The dew upon the yellow leaves was glimmering and the woven nets of gossamer twinkled on every bush. Sam walked beside him, saying nothing but sniffing the air and looking every now and again with wonder in his eyes at the great heights in the east. The snow was white upon their peaks. On a seat cut in the stone beside a turn in the path, they came upon Gandalf and Bilbo, deep in talk. "Hello. Good morning," said Bilbo. "Feeling ready for the Great Council?" "I feel ready for anything," answered Frodo. "But most of all, I should like to go walk."